want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And welcome to Monday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. My name's Bob Arthurs, and we want to welcome you to the Refresh radio program today. I hope you are, if you're driving to work, make sure that you keep your eyes on the road and things like that. But if you're where a place where you can sit and enjoy the time we're going to spend together, I pray that you will do that. If you've got your radio on at work or got your app playing on your phone and it's coming through your earbuds, we are praying that today God is going to speak words of life and refresh you. I don't want you looking at this day and say, oh no, it's Monday. I want you to look and say, look, I know Jesus, and Jesus said the word says the people that know their God will do great exploits. That's in the book of Daniel. And man, I can't wait to see what great things God does in and around my life in this coming day. So today we're going back to the Gospel of John chapter 7. While you're turning there, I want to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete. 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And I want you to do something with me today. Rather than me just tell you about what great people they are with their decades of experience, their expertise, and their great work ethic, I want to ask you to pray with me for the people who are having to work outside in the real intense heat. So you've got concrete people, you've got roofers, you've got road crews, you've got landscape companies, you got painters, air conditioning repair people. Look, most people who are blue collar workers, they're out there and they're really battling the elements this time of the year. And so could we just start off this week and pray for them? Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the people that you have gifted with abilities to work with their hands, to get things built, to get things repaired. And Father, I know that a lot of those jobs require them to be out in conditions that bring warning labels from weathermen about staying hydrated and staying in the shade as much as possible. God, I pray right now that you would hide them under your wings. God, I pray that we would not just concede the working class to being on their own. God, I want to thank you that the first people that you, among the first people you mentioned being filled with the Spirit and the Word of God were people who worked with their hands. And so, God, I pray that the presence of God would be with them, that there would be a refreshing breeze that would come their way. Lord, that you would keep them sheltered and keep them safe, keep them healthy. God, I pray that they would stay hydrated. And God, I just pray that you would be a blessing in their lives as they've been a blessing to so many other people through the work that they do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So if you do need concrete work done, call the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So today we're going back to John chapter 7. This coming Sunday we will be having Sunday morning service. We're going to be having one of our church-wide famous fellowship dinners. We've really not had that many of those over the past couple of years, but we're going to have one to celebrate July 4th, we're going to have a great time, and I want you to know, just when you thought it couldn't get better, it's gotten better. We've had some new people that have come to the church, and one of them's even gone to culinary school, and they helped us out a couple of weeks ago with one of our ministers' dinners. And after I ate that, I said, you know, I think my reign of the Merit Assembly of God Chili Cook-Off, I think that's under threat right now. Just a great team went to work and put together this wonderful Mexican feast. And so if you like hanging out with other believers, and if you are like me and your parents got you addicted to food as a child and you've had to eat multiple times every day since then, join us Sunday morning. Bring a dish and your favorite food in it, and we will partake together, and we will go home full of the Word of God, full of the Spirit of God, and full of the blessings of God in our lives, and then we will be set up for a glorious Sunday afternoon nap. So that's coming up this coming Sunday. Hope you'll join us. John chapter 7. Verse number 19. I'm not going to go back and read a whole lot of other context here for this, because it just, this here starts pretty much an independent thought on its own. It said, "Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" The people answered and said, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I did one work and you all marvel. Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." So that's where we're going to stop. Today, you know, on Friday's program, I said if I was to give a title to that message, it would be "There's a Whole Lot of Seeking Going On." That's kind of a take off of "A Whole Lot of Shaking Going On," I think, which was a Jerry Lee Lewis song back before I was born. But there's a whole lot of seeking going on. The people of God are doing seeking. The people of this world are doing seeking. And the people who are hostile towards God also are doing some seeking. And so we'll touch more on that as we go along. But this particular verse talks about the things that Moses had given to the people. He had given to them the Levitical law. He had given to them the Ten Commandments. He had given to them the very specific detailed law, laws about circumstances, not circumstantial law, but, you know, how do you handle this situation in your life? What do you do here? You know, what offering is prescribed for this? He gave all of that detail. Moses had given the law to people. If you drop back in the Gospel of John and you go to chapter 1, John chapter 1, you are going to see that Moses was a person that gave a lot of things to the people. It says in verse number 16, "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses," there that phrase is again, "but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Moses gave the people the law, and no one could keep the law. Moses couldn't keep the law. Moses had a opportunity to go into the promised land, had put up with the children of Israel and their groaning and complaining and murmuring for quite some time, had served God faithfully, and in one moment of frustration, God said, "Because you did not honor me in the sights of the people, and you did," what he did was he struck the rock, which he had been commanded to do in a previous incident, but this wasn't that incident. Moses on that occasion was supposed to just speak to the rock, and the water was going to flow out of that rock and satisfy the thirst of the people. And Moses said, "Must we do this again?" And so he shifted the source from God to himself. And God said, you and Aaron are not going to be able to go into the promised land. And Moses sought God and said, God, please let me go into the promised land. Please just let me go into the promised land. And he sought God so much that God finally said, don't talk to me about this situation again. Moses gave them the law, and Jesus said, but none of you keep the law or make the law a manifest reality in your life. And so there's a problem with that, because the Bible says that when you violate the law, even if it is only one area of the law, you are guilty of violating the entire standard of the law. And, you know, I know people that, you know, they've never killed anybody. They've never driven under the influence. They've never stolen. They've never done a lot of the things that are talked about. But I guarantee you, every one of them has at some point in time violated one of the portions of the commandment of God. What are you going to do when Moses has given you the law? No one can keep the law, or no one manifests the law in their life. And if you're guilty of one violation, guilty of violating the whole thing, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. What a hopeless situation. What a hopeless situation. And Jesus comes and says, look, I'm here to fulfill the law and the prophets. And so where it says here that Jesus, in John chapter 1, Jesus said, I'm here to give you grace and truth. I'm here to give you the favor of God, the unmerited favor of God, because you were guilty, I stepped in, and I fulfilled, I did for you what you could never have done for yourself. And so Paul says, the law was given that I might become aware of the fact that I'm a sinner. And so I was talking with some friends of mine recently, and we were talking about some of these sorts of things. And the reality is, people do not like to deal with the fact that they have missed the mark and that they have sinned. Okay? They don't want to do that. So they say, well, just don't tell people that they're sinners. Don't tell them that they need to repent. So we had a number of guest speakers the week of our 70th anniversary, and was having a meal with one of them, and they were talking about how an evangelist had been invited to preach to a very large church, multiple services, full, just a really, really large church. And the evangelist went up to the pastor and he said, we've known each other a long time. And he said, yes, we have. And he said, is it okay if I preach what God has laid on my heart to your people? And he said, well, yes, why do you ask? And he said, because you've got a large church, and by the time I get done preaching, your church might not be as large anymore. And the pastor was a little taken aback by that and a little offended, and he said, well, what do you mean? He said, there's a large percentage of your church that is not saved. They haven't ever repented of their sins. They've never asked Jesus to forgive them and be the Lord of their life, and they're not living the life that they're supposed to. And the pastor, you know, was kind of taken back, and so they agreed, and they went, and in every service, this evangelist got up and he preached the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just the good news that we want to hear. It is the good news that we need to hear, that says we need to stop the things that have been displeasing God, ask him to forgive us and empower us to do the things that are pleasing. It's a whole package. It's not just a little nugget. It is not a section taken out of context. And they had a tremendous move of God. The altars were filled, and people were making their lives right with God. And the pastor came up to the evangelist after the service, and he said, "Dear God, I have been preaching my people straight into hell." I don't know the name of the church. I don't know the name of the evangelist. But I can tell you this, repentance is the first blessing, that the primary blessing that God brings into our life. And so Jesus said, Moses gave you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law. I'm here to fulfill it so that I can give you grace and truth, not so you can go back and waddle in the mud all over again, but so that you can be empowered with the Word of God and the presence of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to live the life that you're always meant to live. It's the life you were created to live. And then Jesus asked this question, "Why do you seek to kill me?" So we told you there's a whole lot of seeking going on. There are people who are seeking their own glory. There are people who are seeking the glory of God. And those two seekers live and communicate in entirely different ways. Jesus here says this, "Why do you seek to kill me?" And he said, say this, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get you. They go on and say, "Who is seeking to kill you?" But I will tell you this. They were seeking to remove God from their everyday life. Jesus started speaking to them the message that God had for them, and all of a sudden, they start trying to remove God on a permanent basis from their life. That's really not what you want to do. You know, we can talk about, oh, we want change and all that sort of stuff. What we really mean by that is we want other people to change. We don't want to change. So when Jesus asked them this question, "Why do you seek to kill me?" You've got to realize there was a diverse crowd that was there. There were people who were hanging on Jesus' every word. They were loving the things that he was saying because he was giving them hope. The religious leadership of that time had beat them up and beat them up and made it look like the religious leadership were living a righteous and holy life, and they were telling them what a worthless group of people they were. In actuality, Jesus said, everybody has missed the mark. And so he said, it's not the righteous that need a physician. It's not those who are well that need a physician. It's the sick. The problem was there were people who were sick that didn't even know they were sick. And there were people who had been told they were sick, and all of a sudden the physician says, God has a treatment. God has hope. And you can do this. I've come to make it possible for you to live in a manner that is pleasing God. But some of the religious leadership that was there, that were actually there seeking to kill Jesus, it says, "You have a demon who is seeking to kill you." Now, let me just say this. There's a lot of talk about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that there have been times that I thought that I had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I take this particular sin extremely serious, so I don't do a lot of teasing about the Holy Spirit. I don't think that the Holy Spirit of God is a realm that you should joke about. I don't like to deal with the manifestations. I don't like to try and manipulate people or anything like that. It's like, because the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is a unique class of sin for which there is no forgiveness. Now, I will tell you what I have learned, because I told you I thought that I had blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and I could tell you exactly the incident. I was a teenager, and I could tell you exactly what had happened, and I can tell you why I know that I didn't. I'm not going to go into the details. Somebody said they gave a testimony, and I was like, I didn't see that. And I thought I'd blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I was like, I'm done for. And the Holy Spirit instantly convicted me of that and asked me to repent of that. And that's how you know you've not blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to waste his time convicting you of your sin. He's not into condemnation. Condemnation gives you no hope. Conviction says, bring it to Jesus. Jesus will forgive you. You can grow from this. You can learn from this, and you can teach others about this. So the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is speaking evil of the things that the Holy Spirit has made possible. And instead of giving the praise and the glory to God, people come and make accusation and claim that the source of that work of the Holy Spirit is not from God, but it's from the devil. There is actually an organization, a website that people had created that encouraged people to go there and with intentionality and purpose blaspheme the Holy Spirit. What a horrible, horrible thing to do. What a horrible thing. Why would you ever, I mean, talk about, that is a work of hell right there. That's not a godly thing. That is an ungodly thing. But yet there are people who think so flippantly about their eternity that they went to that site in large numbers, way too large numbers. If it was two, that's too many. And said, look, I don't want to go to heaven. I don't want to be forgiven. I want to spend my here and now doing what I want to do, and I don't really care what happens for all of eternity. What a horrible, horrible thing. And so they said, you have a demon because you're saying, who is seeking to kill you? And what they're saying is, there's nobody trying to kill you. No one is looking to kill you. No one is looking to permanently remove you from their life. But I want to read to you verse number 28, because Jesus has done some more teaching, and this is what the people said. Not all of them, but some of them said this. Is this not he whom they seek to kill? See, the people knew what Jesus knew because he knows the thoughts of our heart and the intents of our heart. He knows what the plan is. And all you've got to do is go back to the end of chapter 7, and you will see that they had sent, the religious leadership had sent people to arrest Jesus because they wanted him out of the way. He was disrupting their careers. He was making them look bad. When Jesus taught, people were saying, we've heard a lot of Pharisees, we've heard a lot of rabbis, and we've heard a lot of teachers. And we've never heard of anyone teach like this before. And so these people were looking to remove Jesus permanently. And that goes back to their own glory versus the glory of God. Verse number 21. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work, and you all marvel. Now, the one work that he had done was that he had healed a man on the Sabbath. He had healed a man on the Sabbath. He said, I did one work, and you all marvel. I've adopted a mindset in my walk with Jesus, and that is this. If I never experience another blessing, if I never see another supernatural healing, if there's never another financial breakthrough, if I never see the church grow the way that I've believed for it to grow and worked for it to grow, I'm still going to keep putting my faith and trust in Jesus, because he's already been better to me than I deserve. The devil will try to frame our point of reference into, what have you done late for me lately, God? I know that you created me and knit me together in my mother's womb, and you've ordered my steps and directed my path. I know you died on the cross. I know that you've given me access to the throne of grace. I know you raised from the dead. I know that you've filled me with the Holy Spirit. I know that you surrounded me with godly friends and co-workers in the kingdom of God. I know that you've blessed me in my health and blessed me in my family and blessed me. But God, what did you do for me today? And if you haven't done anything for me today, then I'm going to turn my back and walk away, because how dare you not meet my needs today? That's the frame of reference that the devil will try and get you to think in. Jesus said this, I did one work, and it's amazing. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus did so many works that the Gospel of John says later that the entire world could not hold all of the records of the things that he did. So I'm not saying that he only did one and never did another. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying he's never going to do anything but bless you, because he will. He's going to continue. He's going to finish the good work that he started. But let's look at it this way. Every time God does a good work, let's be amazed. Let's thank God. Let's throw up our hands and praise the Lord, because he is the God who begins. He's the God who finishes. He's the God of the process in between. Every time God does something amazing in your life, be amazed and praise him for who he is. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.